good morning, everybody. How are you? God bless you. And thank you for joining me on another Godcast episode of Rise Up here on rumble.com/LFATV. It is great to have you here. It's a beautiful day here in the Live Free or Die state of New Hampshire. And Eli, I finally know what they call Iowa. And I knew it my whole life. I just forgot it. It's the Hawkeye state. So we've got the Hawkeye state. We've got the Live Free or Die state. And while we live free or die, we're going to be keeping an eye on you politicians in D.C. like a hawk. I love it. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much. Today's show is going to be something that I think we need. We've had just nonstop day after day after day of Rise Up being blessed, being anointed, the Holy Spirit just with us in a great way in these last few weeks, last month or two. And every show seems to touch home, hit home, and be just as powerful, if not more, than the last. So for that grace and that blessing, we pray to the Lord and we say, thank you, Lord. We are so very blessed to be here. We're so very blessed to be rapture ready and a part of bringing the gospel, bringing the truth, helping save the country by making America godly again. Amen? Making America godly again so we can pray again as a nation. I'd like to start off this morning by getting right into prayer because we have so many prayer requests in the chat. Let's go ahead and do that now. Let's put God first. Let's build the foundation of this show on the Lord. Jeremy Julie Green, something stated the Lord will take care of Alex Jones. He will be given back all that he has lost. Oh, I 100% agree. I 100% agree. The Lord has a way of doing that, doesn't he? Look at Job. Look at Job. Jeremy, can you say hi to my daughter, Leanna, who is 6? She's watching with me, says Fun Mom. Well, Leanna, I definitely can say hello to you. Thank you for watching today. And we're about ready to go to the Lord in prayer, so I hope you can pray with us. I don't know if you are a big prayer or not, but I have a feeling that you are. So, Leanna, thank you for joining us today. 6 years old. My daughter, I have a daughter who's 7, so I know 6 very well. We just lived it for the last year. So thank you very much for being here. And I hope you grow up to be a great woman of God so that you can teach your family all about the word of Jesus. Let's go to the Lord now. Lord and Heavenly Father, we are so gracious that you see us as so precious, that you have grace and mercy on us when we don't deserve it. And not only have the forgiveness and the grace and the mercy, but you actually give us things that we don't deserve as well. Talk about a great father. Lord, you tell us in the Bible not to fear. 365 times it appears. Do not fear, have no fear. Well, the opposite of fear is courage. And that feeling of heavenly courage is unlike earthly courage. It's unlike anything you've ever felt before. It's like the difference between joy and happiness is heavenly courage versus earthly courage. And that is something that you have been transforming in me, God, for quite some time, taking my earthly courage and transforming it into my heavenly courage. And I am so grateful. You've actually given me so much heavenly courage that I want to share it with others. That's called encouragement. And Lord, I could not get this out of my head this morning as I said goodbye to my family. All but one who's heading out to the Midwest today without me, without the head of household, Lord, I pray that you will protect them. I pray that you are the father that they need to seek for guidance and protection on their journey. But you allowed me to give them words of encouragement this morning. And for that, I thank you. There's an old song build me up, buttercup, baby. And I think that's what we need to do. We need to build each other up. Build me up, buttercup. We need to encourage others when we have an overflow of courage. And for that, Lord, we thank you. I'd like to pray for those, Lord, who are starting new jobs today, who have started a new job recently. Lord, let them get over that first wave of being a rookie at the job. Let them feel comfortable and welcome. Lord, I'd like to pray for those who are experiencing physical ailments, such as asthma attacks that's keeping them out of work, cancer diagnosis and treatment, and other respiratory infections, Lord. We ask that you, if it is in your will to heal them and bring them encouragement today that they can have when they walk in faith with the Holy Spirit. Thank you very much. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I leave Saturday for Iowa. Maybe Friday night. Depends on if I'm feeling frisky or not. But my family, all but my son who's coming with me, my son Jaden, they all left today. Two cars, two dogs, four kids, a cat, and a partridge in a pear tree. And it is very, very, very nerve-wracking for me to let my family go away into this very cruel world where anything and everything is around without me there. But God can protect them far better than I ever could. Amen? And I got to speak words of encouragement to them this morning, as well as stern warnings as well. I said, I need 2 days. I need you to be helpful, not whining, not complaining, not fighting, listening to your mother. For 2 days, I just need you 100%. I need you focused. But I also gave them words of encouragement as well. Hugged them, loved them. And now it's just me, Eli, and my son, Jaden here, packing the rest of the stuff and getting ready to roll out to the Hawkeye State. I need all the encouragement I can get. I need all the prayers I can get. They never walk alone. Amen. Amen. Where's your daughter? They're all with her. Even my daughter, Shaylin. She's going out for the initial move. So, thank you for praying for their protection. Frackman said, this is my 29th anniversary at my job. Well, God bless you. What a blessing that is. You get to go to work, right? So let me just tell you guys about the verse today. Please open up your Bibles, if you can, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 9. I'll put that in the chat. There it is in the chat for you. Yes, Jaden stayed with me to ride out with me. Yes. Yes, my daughter went. Yeah, at least for the initial trip. Yeah, but she plans on coming back. Who's driving the other car? My oldest son, Tristan. His first time going that far. God protect him. He's got his license. Poor Eli. Eli reminds me of Eeyore off of, I think, Pooh. Because you're going to be alone. Oh, I'm here working. Eli's an introvert, number one. But he will miss me. But we're going to see him all the time. I'm going to see him when he comes up here. When I come up here, he's going to be coming down there to work a lot. We're going to be seeing each other every day, all day. You guys will see him. It'll be no different. God bless technology, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:9. Let's get into it, folks. I'll read the description of today's show first. Episode number 361. Build me up, buttercup, baby. What a great song and a great message that is. They say, united we stand, divided we fall. You've heard we're only as strong as our weakest link. We're going to talk about that today by going to 1 Thessalonians 5:9. Here we go. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to stop right there. Oh, and by the way, I have a story for you at the end of the show, so remind me if I forget, okay? For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. It means God does not want you in horrible situations. God does not want you willingly putting yourself in situations where the likelihood of something bad happening to you is present. God does not want you to suffer depression. He doesn't want you to suffer from anxiety or fear. Now, you might say, well, if God's so powerful, then why doesn't he take those things from me? He can. He does. He will. But you have to take them to him. God gave you free will, so he's not going to intrude on your life because he respects the Fourth Amendment. Right to privacy, right to choose, right to feel however you want to feel. But he offers a way to not feel that way. He will do. You say, God, if you're real, then take all this from me. God says, sure, give it to me. Problem is you don't give it. Doesn't want you to suffer. Doesn't want you to feel that way. He wants you to feel joy, happiness, love, understanding, sympathy, and empathy. That's what he wants you to that's what he wants you to feel. And he's 100% ready to take all that stuff for you. The problem is people won't give it. They won't give it. Boy, did I give last night, and that'll be the end of the story of today. CQ for pit stops and snacks. Safe travels. God bless you, Jeremy. So many of you have donated to us. We have our gas covered. We have our food covered. And we even have two of the hotels covered for their stay when they go. All because of you guys. All because of your love. We didn't have to take that out of our personal finances. So what we did instead with our personal finances that we were going to use for all that is that we got our cars tuned up. We got some stuff changed, like windshield wipers and stuff, oil changes. We're getting some stuff. I'm putting some different shocks in my truck. They weren't much. They were like $200. These like air shocks to help with the trailer weight. So we got to be able to do all that. Otherwise, I don't know if we would have been able to do all that. So because of you guys, we get to do that. And I thank you so much, okay? Verse 10. He died for us so that whether we are awake or whether we are asleep, we may live together with him. So God says, even when you are at your weakest moment, even when you are asleep, you can't defend yourself. You can't do anything. I've got you because I don't want you to suffer that much. I'm laying in bed next to you, covering you so that demons don't come upon you and go and take you over. God's even got you when you're not aware and when you're not awake. And then this is the best part of the verse, I think, in my opinion. It brings it all together. Verse 11, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Build me up, Buttercup. I want to share a couple sentiments with you and things that are going on in my life and with friends in my life. So Eli and I were talking this morning, and he said something about being a child in his childhood. He didn't have the most encouraging message coming to him, like, you got this, buddy. You can do this, buddy. In fact, it was the opposite. And unbeknownst to a child, you don't know the never-ending effects that can have on you as an adult when you're not getting the encouragement or the support as a child. And so when he said that to me, I remembered something that my daughter said to me, Shaylin, a month ago. Thank you, John Z. Ute 1. Thank you so much. That's even more help. Thank you. God bless you. So my daughter said to me a month ago while we were talking about this move, my daughter feels like she has a lot to prove. My daughter feels like she has so much to prove that she will go to the ends of the earth to prove it. And it really doesn't matter. Shaylin thinks that she needs to prove to the world that she can do everything a man can do. Now, maybe that comes from things that she's heard from me or her brother or just the world. But my daughter is somewhat of a feminist to the point where it's okay where she is, but she's getting to a point where she's trying to prove something that will never be proven physically. You will never be able to do what the average and above man can do physically. But she is hell-bent, and I hate to use that word, but she is very, very, very focused, I should say, on proving that she can physically do what men can do. And I said, honey, you can probably do that till you get to a certain age, but after that, you're probably not going to be able to do that, and it's going to be a waste of time for you to try to prove that to people. What does it matter if you can or if you can't? You're special, you're beautiful, you're wonderfully made, and there's things that you should be doing that you could be focusing your time on outside of that. And she said to me that she gets that because of things that I said to her when she was younger. And I said, what kind of stuff, honey? And she said, well, you told us that we were always going to fail and that our generation is nothing but a generation of failures and that we're never going to succeed at anything that we ever do because we're not good enough. I said, no, that's not what I said, honey. And I said, and I'm sorry that that's what you heard. That's what you took away from the things that I said over the last 15 years, but that's not what was said, honey. You are right. I did say you're going to be a failure. You're right. I did say you're not going to succeed. You're right. I did say your generation is full of people who are going to fail more than the generation before them. But she forgot to say what I also said with that. She forgot to say that I said, you're going to fail at everything you do in your life if you continue down this path. You're never going to succeed at anything on your own if you're not willing to take risks, but also do it with common sense. She forgot all of that. She didn't hear all of that. She didn't hear when I said, you see, this is a product right here of not comprehending everything that somebody says and only cherry picking things that affect you so badly that you spend the rest of your life trying to prove me wrong. I said, honey, I never thought that you are going to be a failure. I said, you have all the potential in the world to do everything you can. You're so smart, but you don't apply it. And if you don't apply the things that you learn, if you don't apply the things that people teach you, then you're setting yourself up for failure. You didn't listen to all that, honey. And she says, no, I didn't hear all that. And now I have this in my mind that I have to prove everything to everyone. I said, honey, you don't. You don't have to prove. She's always in constant competition with her brother to say, I have a better grade than you. I have a better math grade than you. Blah, 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 blah. And I said, honey, you don't have anything to prove. So what, you get a better grade than your brother, which she never does, by the way. Jaden is two grades ahead of where he's supposed to be in math class and some other class because they pushed him ahead because he was a genius in math. He's got a trigonometry test today. I made it to algebra 2, and I didn't even do that. He's got a trigonometry test today, and he's all excited about it. And my daughter is just not that kind of a child. She's like me. She doesn't retain academic information the same way he does, and she's setting herself up for failure because she's doing it to beat him. And I tried to teach them their whole lives that your time is the most precious commodity that you have on earth. Don't waste it by doing X, Y, and Z, or you're going to fail yourself. And I know this because I spent 20 years trying to make it in a music world, in a music business, that everybody told me I couldn't do, and my dad told me I was a loser if I did, and I never cared if I got millions of dollars. I did it for 20 years plus just to prove people wrong, and it was the worst thing I ever did. I wasted so much time. I wasted so much energy. Because I didn't have encouragement. Because I didn't have support. Because I didn't have the words of wisdom and the words of love from my parents that said, I love you, you could do anything, and I'm going to be here for you. That's the difference between me and my kids, is I've told my kids since day one, whatever you want to do, you've got my full support. I love you. I'm always going to be there for you. But I'm also going to be the voice of reason when you are not applying and you're being lazy. I'm going to be that voice of reason that tells you and calls you out and says, you're never going to get there because of the way you are. And until you change, you're just not going to get there. It's common sense. It's reality. But all of that, all the difference that I gave my kids that I didn't have, and the one thing that I didn't give was the encouragement. I gave the support. I gave the know-how. I gave the roadmap. I gave the guidelines. I gave the opposition opinion, but I didn't give the, honey, you can do this. I know you can. You are perfectly and wonderfully made. And if you screw up, it's okay, baby. I got you. I didn't give that enough. I gave more of tough love than I did with the encouragement part. Watch out, Shaylin. Please take this as respect as possible. But she may be trying to make you feel guilty right now. No, I 100% agree. 100% agree. 100% agree. But I'm only telling you guys this story because when producer Eli said that the lack of encouragement and support that he got when he was a kid is still living with him today in his 40s. Imagine what would live in Eli's head today or Shaylin's head in 20 years. If they had the encouragement that they felt they needed, they'd be 20 years ahead. Now, translate that into our Christian community. Encouragement. There is a difference between support and encouragement. Support means, I'm your safety net, I got you, you need something, holler at me, I'll see what I can do. That's support. Encouragement is something different. Encouragement is taking what God blessed you with, that courage, that non-fear that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ, and having the patience with the people that we share that encouragement with so that it flourishes into their own encouragement, like a baby, like you've nurtured a baby and then you can walk away and let them be on their own. Ladies and gentlemen, they could be a 60-year-old person. If they just found Christ, they're a baby. They were just reborn. They're a baby. I'm only 8 years old, folks. Don't just support. Encourage. Encourage means you take them by the hand and say, I'll walk across this road with you. And you can do this. I know you can do this. You don't have to be fearful because I'm here. But sooner or later, they're going to replace you with God because they won't need you. They'll have the encouragement and the trust in God to where they just rely on him. But you got to be that person. You have to. Tough love is great and needed when you're raising children. Tough love is great and needed when you are walking with somebody in their faith to try to get them to the next step. But you got to be very, 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 very careful about how you portray the tough love. See, me, I'm a Gen Xer. So I'm like, it doesn't matter about your feelings. Kick it into gear and let's go. That's how I was for a majority of my kids' lives. And that's great, but it's how you say it. I come off the wrong way to people all the time because I'm always yelling and I'm always aggressive and I'm always like, But a lot of the times, I don't even mean to be that way. I really sincerely love them and have sympathy and empathy for them in my heart. But I don't, it's the, how I portray it. It's the nature of the tone of how I say it that completely gets lost in translation and turns encouragement into tough love support. That's what we have to make sure that we're doing. We have to encourage each other. Thank you, Miranda. Miranda with the $10 donation. Eli, you are amazing, and you are so gifted being our producer. God has blessed you with so many qualities. Thank you for all you do. We love you, Miranda Dolan. Kittenhead, $10. Don't go get snacks for the pets. Exactly. Thank you. We got some. They should be good, and thank you for that so much. Yeah, so it's all about your delivery, your messaging that has to be God's, not yours. Don't just support and give tough love. Give support, give tough love the right way. But you do those things to somebody and with somebody, it equals encouragement. If every one of us had a person in our life, like I'm speaking about right now, imagine how different our lives would have been. How many of you felt that nobody out there ever cared about you, ever? I'm sure a lot of you have felt that feeling before. I have nobody. There's nobody out there. Nobody's going to be here to hold my hand. Nobody's going to be here to give me a shoulder to cry on. That's a horrible feeling. I've been there most of my life. But guess what? I'm never, ever, ever going back there again because now I have God. But imagine if I had had a person to give to be there in place of what God gives before I knew how to get it from him, before I knew how to accept it. Eli, some people are saying frozen. Are you good over there? All right. Imagine where we would be. So, got a new book. Prayers and Promises for Men. I am a man. It made me tough skin though, Jeremy. Oh yeah, but tough skin is a double-edged sword, isn't it? Tough skin is a double-edged sword. It really is. I have tough skin too. Spiritually and physically. It's hard to cut me. It's like rhino skin. But tough skin is a double-edged sword. Because not everybody can have it. And if you're a Gen Xer with tough skin, have fun trying to find somebody that's not a Gen Xer that has the same level of tough skin you do. And then you're wondering why they don't have tough skin. Come on, life is hard, right? Jeremy, if you would have had that from your parents, then we want to have that with us today, making us all better people from what you are teaching us, if that makes sense. Oh, yeah, definitely makes sense. Definitely makes sense. So, this book today, it was marked just on a page. I opened up the page after the Lord brought me to say, we need to talk about encouraging one another today. Look what page I opened up to. I opened up the book. I just grabbed the page and I opened it up and it said encouragement. And I said, all right, I know what I'm reading. I mean, come on. Pretty incredible stuff, folks. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you. The mighty one will save you. He will rejoice over you. You will rest in his love. He will sing and be joyful about you. God is in heaven singing and rejoicing with angels about you. About little old Bruce Carroll, little old Bad Moon, little old Cindy and Mustache, little old Ashley, Miranda. Hebrews 3:13. Encourage one another daily. As long as it is called today. Well, you can't encourage someone tomorrow, and you can't encourage someone yesterday. You maybe did encourage somebody yesterday, but you can't do it again. But you can encourage someone today. And that's what it says. Do it daily. Find somebody that needs you to say, hey, man, I just wanted to let you know that that job that you just started, that accomplishment that you just did, that goal you're going towards, that raise you're trying to get, that family you want to start, you got my full support. I'm here for whatever you need, and I believe in you. Imagine that. Imagine if you had in your life, up until today, people to say, I believe in you, and I love you so much, I'm willing to sacrifice my precious commodity of time to help you get there because I believe in you that much. Imagine that kind of encouragement. Now, God gives us that encouragement. How many earthly people give us that encouragement? Amen? 1,253 people watching. You guys could do me a favor and please rumble and share. If you forgot, Bad Moon said, I believe in you, Eli. Proverbs 16:24. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be joyful, grow in maturity, encourage one another, live in harmony and peace. Then the God of love and peace will be with you. Do you know how much encouragement, love, peace, joy, empathy, sympathy, all of that is found in obeying the Ten Commandments? Conversation I had with my daughter this morning. My daughter, Shaylin, the conflicted feminist who has to prove something to everybody, has not been speaking to God, praying to God, or listening to God for quite some time. And the reason why is she thinks God has failed her in a couple ways, and that's understandable as a 16-year-old girl. But she also doesn't agree with a lot of what the Bible says about structure of family and society and all of that. So I had a heck of a talk with her this morning. And I said, honey, whether you like what some of the stuff says in the Bible or whether you don't, it holds no water at all. And I'm not saying your opinion doesn't matter, sweetie. I am. I mean, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, who do you think is right? God or you? Well, yeah, probably God. That's right. I also said this, and you want to know how I know that that's correct? And she said, how? And I said, well, Shaylin, think about all the times that you've been very close to God. Think about the Bible studies, the Bible reads, you getting dressed before everybody else to go to church because you couldn't wait to go to church. All the highlighting you did in your Bibles, all of the page markings you did, all of the memories of the verses that you come to me for. Like, remember those days? She goes, yeah. I said, how did you feel in life during that time? She said, happy, peaceful. I said, now let's think about the times that God has not been in your life. How do you feel? And she said, sad, scared, anxious, mad. I said, I'll tell you what, sweetie. Do your best to live by the Ten Commandments for 6 months. Honor your mother and father. Don't lie, cheat, and steal. Don't hold anybody above God. You know what I mean? All of that stuff. Do your best to live that way for 6 months and journal it. You want me to prove to you that I'm right? Journal it. Journal every day of your life. Then go ahead and try to live 6 months without him. Without the Ten Commandments, without following them. Don't try to follow them. Journal it and tell me how your life is. I can promise you it'll be like night and day. Now, I'm not trying to encourage my daughter to live without God. I'm not trying to entice my daughter to turn her back on God. I'm trying to entice her and trying to coax her to see the two different ways of life and what it makes her feel in here. And I'm trying to encourage her to lean towards following the Ten Commandments and wanting to seek the Lord. And then I told her about my life again, which she knows intimately. How long is this video here I got for you guys? Hold on 1 second, please. I got a 5-minute Ray Comfort video for you. I know it's Wednesday, but folks, I need a lot of encouragement this week, and I know you guys do too. And there's nobody like Ray Comfort that helps me be encouraged about things. So I have a 5-minute Ray Comfort video to show you, and then I have a story to tell you. So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. He's pumping them out a lot, so we got to get to every one of them, because that's my boy, Ray Comfort. Roll it.
Talk to me.
Tell me, what happens after somebody dies? What do you think happens?
What I think happened after somebody died, man, I think that, you know, like you sleep, like you lay down, like on some real stuff, you lay down, you go to sleep, you know what I'm saying? And you're at ease with yourself. You don't even feel nothing, see nothing, and none of that. That's cool. I think that that's what death like. I think it's like, if I'm standing here right now, somebody ran up on me and put a heater to my head and blew my brains out right now, boom, I'm gone, I'm out of here. I would never feel it. I'd never feel it. I'd just be out of here.
Where do you get your information from?
From life experiences.
You've had that experience?
Yeah.
You've been killed?
Basically, yeah.
Have you ever told a lie?
Yeah.
What does that make you?
That make me a human being.
Yeah, but what are you called if you tell a lie?
A human being.
What would you call me if I told a lie?
I mean, you're a liar just like I'm a liar, but you're a human. So that's in your blood.
Yeah.
That's in your blood. That's like me. I'm black. I was born with the same blood. I'm a black man. I can't take that back. You a sinner. I don't give a damn what you do to change it. You're going to still be a sinner.
Second question. You ever stolen something?
Yeah.
What does that make you?
That make me a thief.
Uh-huh.
That make me a sinner. That make me a human being.
Ever use God's name in vain?
Yeah.
Okay, that's called blasphemy.
Okay.
Now, Jesus said if you look at a woman with lust, you commit adultery with her in your heart.
Right.
You ever done that?
Yeah, I did everything. I did every sin that could be committed.
So on the day of judgment, God will see you as a...
See me as a human being.
Yeah, but as a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart, you've sinned against God. You need His forgiveness.
How you know I ain't got His forgiveness?
You know what's coming out of your mouth? I know what's in your heart. It gives me a clue.
I'm a sinner. I do everything. I look at bulls and be like, damn, I want that.
Yeah.
I drink. I love it. I'm overindulged sometimes, but that's being a human.
I don't want to end up in hell. You know, the Bible says if you're carnally minded, it'll bring about death. But if you're spiritually minded, it'll bring you life and peace. God says if you are a hypocrite, you won't enter heaven. So what you got to do is repent. Ask God to give you a clean heart.
A hypocrite is saying that I've done something and I never do it again. I never said I wouldn't do what I do again. I'm going to still look at fat asses. I'm still going to drink. I'm still going to be me. You know what I'm saying?
Why?
Because that's me.
Yeah, well,
you need
to be born again.
When I feel that, and I changed my life, that's cool. But right now, I'm going to do what I do for today.
Could God be speaking tonight through me?
He could be.
But
I don't know if you are, what's my man name? You know what I'm saying? I don't know who you are.
My name's Ray.
You just an inquisitive guy asking me questions, giving me an interview.
Yeah.
That's all.
Now, you know what God did so you wouldn't have to go to hell?
What did He do?
Send His Son to die on the cross.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm already saved, man, because I accepted the fact that Jesus Christ died for my sins, you know what I'm saying? He died for my sins. He gave me another chance. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, I wouldn't be here
but
right
remember,
now.
Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. You got to repent and trust in
Him. I feel you. But I'm going to tell you like this. You do you, and I'm going to do me. And I see you. When I'm going to be up there walking. And I'm going to be, you know what I'm saying?
When was the last time you read your Bible?
Oh, yesterday. And I can quote something for
what
you.
What did you read?
Whatever. Revelations.
Revelations?
Yeah. Yeah, we're in the last days, which you ain't
well,
know.
You got to read Matthew 7.
No, we're going to read Revelations because I'm reading for the day.
You know what Matthew
7
says?
I'm reading for today. I want to know what's going on today, not back in the day, but today.
Jesus said this.
No, get up on Revelations and then holler at me. You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
peace
man.
Out. It's P Nasty from the D.
Hey.
Keeping it real, for real. That's how we doing it. You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
come
thanks
out.
For talking, man.
Hey.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, so that was in the early 2000s. That was a video from Ray's Vault from the early 2000s. And hard-hearted, right? A hard-hearted person. Who's ready for story time? All right. Yesterday, I told you guys a story about a gentleman that I had an encounter with at Cumberland Farms gas station the day before. And yesterday I told you that I failed. I also told you that I would not fail today. That's what I told you yesterday. I said I will not fail today. I failed yesterday. I will not fail today. Well, today happened. Last night. In our last night as a family in our home, my wife and I are just under so much pressure and stress. Oh, before I continue, I got to say, RJ Cat, guys, I don't know where the outpouring of love is coming from. Lunch with Eli and the rest, or the road. You guys, I see all this and I just want to break down in tears. I don't know why you guys donate your hard-earned money outside of the program that needs to stay to me and my family, because like anybody else, I don't feel like I deserve it, but I'm so thankful and I don't know what to say. I really don't, except for thank you. I mean, I got a big smile on my face. My heart's warmed. It's thank you. So last night, my wife and I start getting in an argument. Because not just the stress of the move and the business and all that. Like, I'm still running the business day to day. I'm still here and not doing that. I'm still here every day, which is, you know, it's rough. We started getting into an argument last night because of stress. Plus, we got 5 kids who are Gen Z and Gen Alpha, and they don't really care about doing anything, and they only do what you tell them to do if you tell them to do the exact thing. They don't have common sense to say, would you like help, or anything like that. So we were getting stressed, right? And I said something, and not even really bad, but it was enough to set Sabrina off. And boy, she went 0 to 100 on me, like I would on anybody else out in public. Before I know it, she was calling me names and saying things that weren't true and making me feel like trash. And I recognized right away what was happening. The devil was trying to destroy my family on our last night. And the devil said, oh, you aren't going to do it today, huh? I got you. Now I'm not going to try to come in between you and some stranger. Now I am going to pull your anger strings and I'm going to make you go at your wife, and the kids are going to be collateral damage in this fight, this argument, the night before you guys are all are together in the house for the last time, last night. Thank you, Wild Root. So she's coming at me like a pit bull, like I went at that guy. And I started getting upset and I started raising my voice. And I said, I didn't call you any names. I didn't do anything. Calm down, blah, 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 blah. And she stormed out and I was sitting there alone. Now, I will never say that our fights are ever my wife's fault. A lot of the times they are my fault. But this one wasn't. I understood what was happening. And I did something I've never done in an argument, ever. Usually it takes me about a day to stop being angry, or half a day or whatever. Kind of avoid each other. You know the whole routine, right? Well, I'm not saying I'm sorry because I didn't do anything wrong. Blah, 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 blah. I did something I never do. I went to God in the middle of an argument. And I said, Lord, I need you. I need you right now. My wife and I shouldn't be doing this. We love each other. We are so in love. We are so lock and step. We are one flesh. Our children do not need to see this. We don't need to be a part of this. It's only adding division. Lord, please, please soften our hearts, both of our hearts. Neither of us need to be right. Neither of us need to be wrong. Just soften our hearts and let us love each other, Lord. Let my family not endure this tonight. Please, Lord. This is not real. I know this is of the devil. This is not rooted in anything real. And I'm going to tell you what happened. 5 minutes later, I was in the bathroom packing up some stuff. And my wife came up. She opened the door. She came in. She closed the door. And she quietly said, I am very sorry that I called you names. That is unacceptable in any time, in any way, in any situation. And I apologize for that. I'm sorry that I said things that weren't true. I have very much apologized. I am under so much stress and I don't know. And I just, I'm sorry. And I looked at her and I said, I'm sorry too. And we hugged, we embraced, we loved each other. And then we had a wonderful night with our family on the back porch, reminiscing on the times that we had in that home. And then I encouraged her. And I said, you got this. I got this. We got this. Because we got God. There you go. When I needed him the most, when my wife needed him, when my kids needed him, when our family needed him, I went to him. And he came and kicked the devil out and brought love, peace, kindness, gentleness, and forgiveness to my family last night. Because if we'd have left on that note, it would have been, not would have been good. It would have not been good, right? Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for being here, as always, as I always do. And I want to take you out the same way I brought you in, with some encouraging Christian music, some worship music. But ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, going to God and encouraging one another, that's what we're meant to do. It's the only way we move forward with Jesus. We're only as strong as our weakest link and our brothers and sisters in Christ. So encourage your family. Encourage strangers. Be there for them. You never know where it'll take you both. Thank you all for being here for me. Thank you for encouraging me. Thank you for supporting me. Thank you for praying for me. Thank you for donating to my family and this business. You guys are one of a kind. Mike Crispy and Unafraid starts right now. And I'll see you at 11 o'clock. Keep encouraging each other and keep walking with the Lord. I love you guys. God bless you. See you at 11 o'clock. Bye-bye.